Scripture today is from the Old Testament, 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served as Naaman's wife. She served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpah, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage, but his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he had said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we've heard your word. Remind us now of the truth in it. Speak to us of the hope these words contain. And it's in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I don't know if any of you are Ultimate Fighting Championship fans. I'm sure there are a lot here. Yeah, a couple. Okay, Ultimate Fighting Championship fans, okay? Really? You watch it with your dad. Okay, all righty. It's a good thing. It's okay. All right. But Ultimate Fighting Championship has surpassed boxing now in popularity and actually has become quite mainstream. And there was just a heavyweight championship fight, I think, yesterday. Brock Lesnar. Sounds like a fighter, huh? Yeah, kind of sounds like somebody tough. He won, okay? Now, and he is tough. But he had just gone through about a year-long bout with serious physical maladies and challenges. In fact, at one point, he wasn't even sure if he was going to survive, if he was going to live. And throughout that challenge, by his own admission, he was humbled. Before that, whenever he first came into this sport, he was very cocky and sure of himself and really somewhat outrageous even whenever he won a bout. It was all about him, and he wanted all the glory. And going through this challenging year-long struggle, who else here can think about a year-long struggle where God has blessed them? He was changed and transformed. And after this bout, there wasn't any jumping around, any prancing around. He simply accepted the victory with great humility. That struck me about how challenging things and circumstances can transform us, can actually make us stronger. I needed to share another word of Scripture with all of you. I'd mentioned about this week there were things that were happening that were pointing me very much in a particular direction for things to share this morning. And there's a word from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to actually remember this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. Paul is writing here to the Corinthian church, and he says these words. But he, Jesus, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Did you hear that? "So I will boast all the more," Paul's speaking here again, "gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." I was visiting with an inmate at the jail yesterday who's dying, maybe a couple of months. And on one hand, whenever you looked at him, it's somewhat of a pitiful sight. It really is. And he acknowledges that. But you know, an amazing thing happened yesterday. Because we were looking at that particular scripture passage from 2 Corinthians that I just read with you. And he's a believer. And he's saved. And he's handed his life over to God through Jesus Christ, through a saving relationship with Christ and by God's Holy Spirit. And so although his circumstances in a worldly sense might seem somewhat pitiful, and in fact, actually all he's praying for now is that there will be some level of mercy in the courts so that he doesn't have to die in jail. That's all he wants. He knows he's going to die, but he doesn't want to do it in jail. As we were looking at these words, he said to me, "Pastor, I feel stronger than ever." What? As the world sees that, that's outrageous. That's impossible. It can't be true. But you know what, friends? It is. In our weakness, as we offer that as a living sacrifice to God, we are made strong. We attain grace upon grace upon grace, and it never stops, and it pours into us, and it overflows out of us. And amazing, astounding things happen. Naaman was kind of one of those bandy roosters. You ever see a guy that kind of walks like that with a strut, kind of chucking it along like, "Yeah, I got it going on. Look at me." Yeah, absolutely. I know looking at me, you can't really imagine that, but like, just kind of looking at me, strutting along. "Yeah, I got it going on. Yeah, look at me. Woo, got it shined up today. Extra coat of armor all on." Yeah, absolutely. It's good. It's good. It's good. Yeah. And Naaman, you know, was this general. And you know, he really, really thought he was hot stuff. And I guess he was. I mean, his king certainly did appreciate his work. Naaman had incredible power and authority. And yet, even with all those worldly accolades and worldly power and worldly authority and worldly position, he had leprosy. And at this time in history, that was pretty much a death sentence, eventually. So, through a slave girl, God speaks. Isn't that amazing how God speaks through surprising people? Have you ever been surprised whenever God has spoken through you or spoken in your life? Well, get ready to continue to be surprised, because he's going to continue to speak in your life and through you as you humble yourself before him. And whenever you say, "Lord, it's your life, not mine," he's going to say, "Very good. I'm going to use you. I'm going to work through you." This slave girl, somebody who's not even named, we don't even know her name, and somebody that was at the lowest echelon of society. Out of her voice, God speaking through her, word gets to Naaman that, you know what, there's a possibility for healing. But you have to turn to the one true God. So what happens here? Naaman, and it says that he's a commander, actually is sent with a phenomenal gift. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I a god to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy?" Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. Now you have to understand that whenever you look in 2 Kings, look a couple chapters earlier, and you'll understand why the king of Israel was nervous about receiving this letter from the king of Aram. They had been fighting. In fact, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom had all traveled down together en masse right below the Dead Sea and hit up into the king of Moab, who was trying to cause trouble. Talks about that battle just a couple of chapters earlier in 2 Kings. And so there's this kind of nervousness that exists, okay? And when people are fighting each other, there's that nervousness that exists. And so whenever word comes from the king of Aram, there's a little bit of nervousness in the king of Israel thinking, "Hold it, no, I'm not the guy. Okay, I'm not the guy you're looking for. Just leave me alone. Okay, I'm tired of any battles. I'm tired of any quarrels. I'm not the person that's going to be able to do this." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Don't worry. Be happy. Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman goes. Okay, again, remember, Naaman's pretty highfalutin. I don't want to use those technical terms on you here, but he's highfalutin. He's up there, okay? And he thinks he is all that stuff and a pat of butter and everything else. And he goes and he takes everybody en masse, you know, "Hey, look, I got all these people with me. I got this fantastic, incredible, lavish, expensive gift. I'm going to go ahead and take it over there, and Elijah's just going to go ahead and do whatever I want." What happens then? Elijah sent a messenger out to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." I don't want to talk to a second. I want to talk to the man. And I want him to do what I want done. That's what Naaman's thinking. Who does this prophet think he is? Sending out a messenger, sending out his, you know, assistant to go ahead and address me and tell me. And then he tells me this thing about going in the river, in the Jordan. Well, you know, we have rivers back home that are just as good. In fact, they're probably cleaner. And I could go back there. I didn't even have to travel this whole distance. Shoot, I didn't have to go in the Colorado River. I could have stayed back in Pennsylvania and dunked my head in the Ohio or Allegheny. On second thought, I don't want to do that now that I think about it. Exactly. I've been in those rivers, by the way. You wear shoes when you go in those rivers, actually, by the way. Naaman is missing the point. He is so caught up in himself, so full of himself, if you will, that he misses the point that humility precedes healing. Say that along with me. Humility precedes healing. We must be humble before God before we truly understand the blessing. Or, let's face it, even see it. How many times have we been blessed in our lives by God and not even recognized it, but gone kind of racing ahead? And then maybe in hindsight's 20/20, we realize how God was blessing us or working in our lives, or we were able to sense it, or the light bulb goes on. We say, okay, I understand, God, now how you were working. I only now see it. I'm sorry that I missed it at the time. And I'm sorry, Lord, that I missed the opportunity then to be able to thank you for the blessing. I'm sorry. God receives that. God still loves us, and God is still going to be at work in our lives. That's the amazing thing about grace. That's why we sing about it as amazing. Because God and God's actions and God's grace and love are not determined by us. God worked in our lives before we were even aware of Him. That's the reality. God approaches us before we even think about Him. That's how powerful our Heavenly Father is. Naaman didn't even realize that God had already put him in a season of healing. He was so cocky and full of himself and lacking of humility, he didn't even realize he was in a season of healing. Do you understand that term also? Whenever I've talked to people, and oftentimes I mention this in hospitals, this is a biblical truth, that God puts us in seasons, okay? Time frames. I'm not talking about fall, winter, spring, summer. We don't have any of those here anyways in Yuma. But for any of those that still remember those things, and, you know, yeah, absolutely. For us, a season may be a week. Maybe. A season may be a month. Maybe even a day. Or it may be a year or years. We don't determine that. But when God puts us in a season, that means that He's going to be guiding us through that, and He's going to be leading us, and He's not going to let us go. That's hope. Naaman didn't know that he had been put in a season of healing, but he was. And now, the blessing is about to be received. So, he, Naaman, went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, finally. And this was after his servants pleaded with him. Again, a powerful man with one word could have people killed. Servants, the lowest of low in that society, coming to him, pleading with him, just try it. Just humble yourself, in other words. That he would even be listening to a servant meant that he was humbling himself. They were below him. What's this servant telling me? Why should I listen to them? And he does. He goes down and immerses himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. There we go. A miracle? Certainly. But miracles happen. God is in the business of miracles. They happen all the time. They happen regularly. Sometimes they're dramatic. The news needs to be shared and celebrated. Sometimes it's more subtle. Sometimes it's a miracle when we simply recognize how deeply God loves us. Isn't that a miracle? That encourages us. That fills us. One more thing. The offering that was brought, you remember that? Naaman wanted to pay for it. Okay, if I have enough money, then I can do anything. How often do we see that in society? If I have enough riches, then I can get anything done. Elijah wasn't going to accept an offering for the healing. This is a reality that Christians live. God does not want simply our livelihood. He wants our lives. It's not like we can pay God for salvation. It's not like we can pay God for His grace. It's not like we can pay off God for healings. We have to offer it all and trust Him 100% completely. Only when Naaman finally did trust God completely and walked down into the waters. And you know, whenever he was doing that, he was humbling himself. Okay? You understand the other people seeing him when Naaman finally just says, Lord, I'm trusting you. And he takes those steps into that Jordan. I can imagine him just taking those steps thinking, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know why I'm doing this. But I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust this prophet now. And he starts walking down the bank and he walks right into that Jordan. And as the water starts flowing over him, that amazing thing happens. Leprosy is cured, a fatal disease. His skin is made new. And Naaman himself also is changed as well, forever. Are you trusting God completely in your life? That's the question that each Christian asks themselves. I'm not asking you right now. I'm asking you to think about that. That question, am I trusting God completely with my life? Have I truly given my life, my entire life, over? Remember that even when you give your life over, there may be some challenging days. New Christians are excited, certainly, and filled and enthused. Yeah, everything's going to be great now. Wow, God loves me. I'm saved. The Holy Spirit is at work in my life. And then they go back to work. Or that family problem is still there. Or the car breaks down. Or fill in the blank. Life happens. Through our weaknesses, by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are made strong. When we are at our most vulnerable, and when we simply say to God, Lord, I give it all to you, that is when the power of the universe, the power that created everything, is filling us. What an awesome truth that is. What a great thing to know.